This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and for our first story, it's an update on a tabung that was started this year. Since the year is closing off, it's good to kind of see where it's at as well. And it turns out that Tabung Harapan Malaysia has exceeded the 200 million ringgit mark less than a week before the fund is going to be closed on Monday.
The Tabung Harapan Malaysia Fund will be officially closed on December 31st. Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, in a statement, expressed profound gratitude and thanked Malaysians for their show of patriotism in wanting to ease the government's financial burden.
And as at 3 p.m. yesterday, it saw a collection of, okay, wait for it, 200,032,580 and 24 cents.
So on Sunday, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng reminded Malaysians that they have just a week left to contribute to Tabung Harapan, saying that interested contributors are urged to donate as soon as they can before December 31st, and that tax relief will be given for their contributions.
Just a bit of a history thing. Tabung Harapan was launched on May 30th by Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad with the aim of collecting public funds that will then go towards paying off that 1 trillion ringgit national debt.
Guan Eng also said the National Audit Department will ensure the money is managed with integrity and in an orderly manner. A little while back, we spoke to Cynthia Gabriel from the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, C4, about what she hopes the Tabung Harapan funds will be used for.
I would actually suggest that this fund gets to become part of how the reforms in Malaysia can actually take place. So there's an entire reform agenda which was shaped by the Pakatan Manifesto, and so some of it can actually go into shaping these reforms. So even if we need to build new institutions or we need to enhance the minimum wage of the workers, I think there was a lot of outcry over the 50 ringgit raise. These are ways in which we can actually plug in very effectively to make sure that some of the reforms we've been dreaming about that could become a reality in this new context can actually have funding to support these.
That was Cynthia Gabriel from the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. And during that show, we actually opened up the phone lines and heard from a lot of you about what you would like to see the funds being used for. And I think it was split pretty evenly down the middle. Quite a lot of people said, you know what, when you first collected the funds, you said it was going to go towards paying off this debt. Mm. We want to see that fulfilled. But a number of other people said, well, if there are other plans that are going to go towards that debt, then maybe this can be used instead on improvements for the country, improving the education system, improving even things like roads. So now that it's coming to a close and we're at that 200 million mark, I suppose we'll wait to see what's next.
I'm not saying that the MACC short on funds, but I would actually love to see this fund perhaps go to the MACC, because the 1 trillion debt was allegedly caused by corruption, and I think it would be apt to just give it to an agency that's fighting corruption.
Having said that, I also completely see the logic of, you know what, this was what you collected it for. It should go towards that. That is just the logical use for it. So we'll wait on that update. It is closing again next Monday in case you still wanted to contribute or in case you missed out on it. And you can also let us know your thoughts. How do you feel about Tabung Harapan now that this crowdfunding has come to a close or is going to come to a close very shortly? You can WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at PFM Radio. Our next story, though, is going to be about our highways and tolls.
Now let me pass.
No. Sorry. But a toll is a toll, and a roll is a roll. And if we don't get no tolls, then we don't eat no rolls.
So Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng has announced that the government will maintain existing toll rates at all expressways in the country for 2019.
In a statement disclosing the cabinet decision from December 12, he said the move will cover all vehicle classes on the country's 21 highways eligible to increase toll rates next year at a cost of 994.43 million ringgit to taxpayers' monies. The highways affected include Plus, Linked Dua, Kasas Elite LPT1, Best Raya, and PHLDP Akle BKE, Duke, Max, Lacaz, all sorts of highways, including the Smart Tunnel as well.
Yes, I was wondering if you were going to end up reading all of that. The point being, yes, there are 21 highways that are coming under this freeze. While tabling Budget 2019 in November, Guan Eng had announced the moratorium on toll rate increases for intra-city highways only.
Kerajaan akan membekukan kenaikan bayaran toll di semua lebuh raya dalam bandar.
intra-city toll pada tahun 2019 yang melibatkan implikasi kewangan sebanyak 700 juta ringgit. Selain itu, kerajaan juga akan memansuhkan tol motosikal di jabatan pertama dan kedua di Pulau Pinang dengan implikasi kewangan diangkakan sebanyak 20 juta ringgit setahun mulai 1 Januari 2019.
Guaning also said that the moratorium cost would have been 972.75 million ringgit if the collection for motorcycles was maintained, as the move is set to cost the government 20 million ringgit in compensation annually.
The cabinet has also agreed to freeze toll hikes for buses on 8 separate highways with an estimated cost of 1.68 million ringgit. These include the Kuala Lumpur Karak, the Bor, the Silt, the Lata, NPE and Sprint.
So I think this is at least a step in the right direction, because I think initially there were, of course, in their manifesto, they promised to cancel and abolish all tolls.
Yes.
But that really hasn't happened yet. And I think the main reason they've been citing is the cost and the financial situation that we're currently in. I think a few months ago, Deputy Rural Development Minister Siva Rasa Rasia has said that the government will carry out reductions in a year or two, believing that agreements with the toll concessionaires should be renegotiated or, in the event of recalcitrant concessions, be nullified by an act of parliament.
I think that they are. This is, again, one of those things where I believe this is the best that can be done within this period of time. It isn't necessarily what was promised, but I think to know for a fact that there aren't going to be price increases, at the very least, it might not be enough, I think, for people who have been struggling with the cost of the tolls, especially for necessary travel to work and the likes. But at least it isn't going to be increased.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, because I think if next year continues to be expensive, at least the slight increase in minimum wage won't be hurt by tolls, while it might still be hurt by inflation and other sort of things.
Let us know what you think about this freeze on our toll rates. It isn't an abolition, but it is at least that, you know, they're stopping the rise. You can WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we get into a rather thorny subject. Would you rather be happy or would you rather be satisfied? Stay tuned to the Evening Edition for the answer to that question. This is BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And for our next story, the question is this: do you want to be happy or do you want to be satisfied?
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
So according to cognitive psychologist Daniel Kahneman, 2002 Nobel Prize winner in economics, we think we want to be happy, yet many of us are actually working towards some other end.
He contends that happiness and satisfaction are distinct. Happiness is a momentary experience that arises spontaneously and is fleeting. Meanwhile, satisfaction is a long-term feeling built over time and based on achieving goals and building the kind of life you admire. On the podcast Conversations with Tyler, hosted by economist Tyler Cohen, Kahneman explains that working toward one goal may undermine our ability to experience the other.
So, for example, his research measures everyday happiness, the experiences that leave people feeling good. And he found that spending time with friends was actually highly effective at this. Yet those focused on long-term goals that yield satisfaction don't necessarily prioritize socializing, since they're busy with the bigger picture.
He also says that satisfaction is based mostly on comparisons and social yardsticks, achieving goals and meeting expectations. Money does have a significant influence on satisfaction, but happiness is affected only when funds are lacking. So in other words, poverty creates suffering, but above a certain level of income that satisfies our basic needs, wealth doesn't increase happiness.
I think this isn't new news in terms of how after a certain threshold, more money just really doesn't make you any happier. So the basics of this then is that if you aren't hungry, if clothing, shelter and other basics are covered, then you're capable of being at least as happy as the world's wealthiest people. Those fleeting feelings of happiness, though, don't add up to life satisfaction necessarily. Looking back, a person who has had many happy moments may not feel pleased on the whole. The key here then is memory. Satisfaction is retrospective. perspective, happiness occurs in real time. People tell themselves a story about their lives, and our day-to-day experiences yield positive feelings, but they don't necessarily feed into that longer story because feelings pass and then they're forgotten.
So, for example, consider this thought experiment. According to the psychologist, a person who knows they can go on holiday and have a good time, but that their memories will be erased and that they can't take any photos, might choose not to go after all. The reason for this is that we do things in anticipation of creating satisfying memories to reflect on later and are somewhat less interested in actually having a good time. This theory helps to explain our current social media driven culture. To some extent, we care less about enjoying ourselves than presenting the appearance of an enviable existence, and ultimately this makes us miserable.
Do you agree with that statement, that thought experiment, that if you could go on a holiday, but you would not be able to make any new memories and you would not be able to take photos, you wouldn't remember the holiday as having happened, but you would have had a good time on that holiday. Would you go on it?
If I had a choice to not take photos, I would be fine. But if I had to lose my memories of it, I'm not sure if I would go, because why go? Why would I want to do something where I would forget about it? Because I think I'd enjoy the experience of looking back and being able to share that moment with either people I've gone to that place with, or with other people that have gone to that place or are thinking about going to that place.
Yeah, I think holidays work that way, don't they? I mean, they give you something to look forward to, and then while you're on the holiday, they give you something to enjoy. And then after that, they give you something to look back on to get you through the grind, I suppose, of daily work and daily life. And so the idea that I would not be able to remember a holiday I went on, like you said, the photos are one thing, but my memories are quite another. Let us know what you think. So again, I'll just repeat the thought experiment. If you could go on a holiday and have a good time, but your memories would be erased and you can't take any photos, would you still choose to go on that holiday? Let us know. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So moving on, Kahneman argues that we feel happiness primarily in the company of others, and the positive psychology movement that has arisen in part as a result of his work doesn't emphasize spontaneity and relationships. Instead, it takes a longer view, considering this issue of what makes life meaningful, which is a concept that Kahneman has claimed eluded him.
So this clip from the School of Life questions the very term happiness and argues that another word might be better suited to describe what we're all trying to work towards.
Eudaimonia is an ancient Greek word, particularly emphasized by the philosophers Plato and Aristotle, that deserves far wider currency than it has because it corrects the shortfalls in one of the most central, governing, but insufficient words in our contemporary language, happiness. When we nowadays try to articulate the purpose of our lives, it's to the word happiness that we commonly have recourse. We tell ourselves and others that the ultimate rationale for our jobs, our relationships, and the conduct of our day-to-day lives is the pursuit of happiness. It sounds like an innocent enough idea, but excessive reliance on the term means that we are frequently unfairly tempted to exit, or at least heavily question, a great many testing but worthwhile situations. The ancient Greeks resolutely did not believe that the purpose of life was to be happy. They proposed that it was to achieve eudaimonia, a word which has been best translated as fulfillment. What distinguishes happiness from fulfillment is pain. It is eminently possible to be fulfilled and, at the same time, under pressure, suffering physically or mentally, overburdened, and quite frequently in a tetchy mood. This is a psychological nuance that the word happiness makes it hard to capture, for it's tricky to speak of being happy yet unhappy, or happy yet suffering. However, such a combination is readily accommodated within the dignified and noble-sounding letters of eudaimonia.
So are we all ready to embrace eudaimonia instead of happiness? Would we go on holidays if we could not make memories and we could not take photos, but we could be happy? I suppose that is that question between happiness and satisfaction. So let us know, would you rather be happy or would you rather be satisfied? Would you go on that holiday? WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got some music coming up. Right now, here's Mott the Hoople with Lounge Lizard, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.